to fill you in on what's going on this morning. Obviously, there's you've probably done this before, part of your history, your tradition. But this is All Saints Day. And today we will be commemorating those in whom have passed before us. And during the time of communion, you're coming forward, you will have the opportunity to take one of the longer candles off the table and light it into the Christ candle and light a candle in memory of someone who has been an inspiration to you in your Christian walk. Now, in this sense, a lot of times it's usually just done for a person who is a member of this local body. Now, in this sense, I'm a little more broad in allowing people to, even if they were of another faith background, Christian faith, if they were Baptist, Presbyterian, or Catholic. Because when I share this morning in my message, I'll be giving some personal reflections of people who have touched my life. One was a Methodist, two were Methodist, one was Catholic, and there's been a lot of other people who have influenced my life outside of probably the Methodist Church more than within it. So if they have been an inspiration to your Christian walk and they have now passed on to glory, to be with the Father, feel free to light a candle in memory of that individual. Amen. This morning's opening scripture comes out of the book of John, chapter 11. Well, Patty, where'd it go? Well, this is why I have it typed out. See, I've learned. In verse 32 of chapter 11, the Word of God says this. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said for this, for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. I'm going to share some more interesting secrets about myself, beloved. When I was younger, I was a power lifter. Since then, I've torn my body up severely and whatnot, but I had dreamed to be a power man. I used to be on a power team. We ripped Bibles, we ripped telephone books apart. We bent poles in half. We broke baseball bats over our knees. And this is the kind of stuff we did. And it was a Christian power team. And I used to be pretty beefy. I mean, I'm beefy now, but not like I was then. You know, this is why my wife loves me. So, yes, I won't tell you what her pet name is for me. I'll keep that one a secret. But nonetheless, I knew what it was to have power and to have strength. So that is kind of a lead in into what I'm going to say. This is a true story that I found. But it was a story about a power man who was a bodybuilder. He had a great physique, kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, some of those great figures that we know of. And Mr. Coleman, who was a huge man. And these guys he was called to appear on a TV show. And there happened to be an interviewer there. But as the bodybuilder came up on the stage, you know, he started to flex his physique and his muscles to show the crowd his build. And obviously a lot of people in the crowd were probably power lifters or bodybuilders or in the sport themselves. We were very excited to see this person. But the interviewer asked a question: what do you use all that power and those muscles for? And the bodybuilder just looked at him and just started to flex his muscles again. So the interviewer asked a second time, that's good and great, but what do you use all those muscles for? So he struck another pose. The interviewer said one last time, he goes, seriously, what do you use all those muscles for? And on that third time, the athlete, the bodybuilder, just stood there silent. He had nothing to say. He had, outside of him posing, you know, for people to look at him and to bring attention to himself, the muscles actually had absolutely no use, no purpose. Beloved, for something to have meaning, it must have purpose. And this morning, I'm looking into this life and this death of Lazarus. We easily associate most times the meaning of Lazarus' life with his walk out of the tomb. That's a huge piece of it. But it's much more than him just coming out of the tomb. After being dead 4 days, we see Jesus' miraculous work come to be. Jesus had been in Bethany. Just to show up and just to do this, you know, there was something more to what Jesus was going to do. There was a reason why Jesus waited extra time in Capernaum. Jesus could have come right away, but he said, no, I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold off. Because you know what? We're going to show God's power displayed. We're going to show strength through the Spirit. We're going to see something take place. Jesus could have been there on time, but Jesus was going to show something different. Intentionality through purpose, through his strength. Lazarus' life and the events surrounding Lazarus' death and Jesus' miracle in raising Lazarus from the dead have significance far beyond that single moment. Jesus wasn't, again, just flexing his spiritual muscles in a fancy show for the grieving crowd. He was going to show us how to grieve, but also how to live through the Spirit. Again, as today as we mark All Saints' Day, a day in the Christian calendar for many churches is a high day of celebration in which we traditionally commemorate all saints, known and unknown, who were joined with God eternally. But this is also a time when we as Christian community can remember the departed faithful who were close to us. We cannot engage in such remembering without acknowledging some grief within our heart. But also, as we grieve and we remember them, we'll also have the other side of that, which is joy for what they have instilled into us, how they inspired us in our faith. This is one of the things I see that's important about the story of Lazarus' death. This is one of the few places in the gospel where we see the deep show of grief from Jesus' own heart. We are told three times that Jesus was deeply moved or that he had wept. In the classical Greek, which means deeply moved, we can only assume that Jesus was seized by such deep emotion that he let out that great involuntary groan from his heart. Jesus had lost one of his closest friends. And even to him, it hurt him. It was difficult for losing his friend. But he was not going to let his friend stay there. This morning I'm going to speak to you about a few people who were inspirational in my life. This lady here, her name is Anita Jackson. Anita Jackson was a United Methodist member in Edina, Ohio. A little small country church, not unlike your own. She was probably on every board within that church throughout her life. Anita was known also, not only in her church, but also in the conference, as a mover and a shaker for the East Ohio Annual Conference. She was there. If something was going on, she was present. And then, I don't know where she always found all the time, because she did all the local church stuff, the conference stuff, and also for the city of Steubenville, Ohio, she was on various boards within the city for commerce and different things. And then, if she wasn't doing that, she was also a full-time faculty for Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, with student relations and helping fund people getting grants and loans and scholarships. Now, this is how I came to know Anita. I was coming up as a student local pastor when I first started, and I was an associate pastor. We have four churches. I was making $10,000 a year. Now, it's hard to get your education on $10,000 a year. And I was introduced to Anita, and we became very close friends. And eventually, I was moved probably within 2 miles of where she was living and attending church. But I didn't serve her church. I served another one on another hillside. And we became very good friends. And at that same time, the Pope out of Rome put out an edict to all of his universities throughout the world, saying we need to be more ecumenical in our approach to help other ministers of the Christian faith in their education. When that came down, she called me up. She said, I have a scholarship for you. Pay for my education to go to Franciscan University of Steubenville, Ohio, where I studied social work. She was a great influence on my life. She impacted not only myself, but many others. She was always there. When she wasn't attending church service at her church, she would come over and sit in mine. She was there. Always had a lovely word. Never heard her say nothing negative. She always touched my heart. I have two other people I'd like to share to you this morning. Can you advance the screen? There we go. There's two names here, Joe Fornell and Sylvia Browning. Joe Fornell was a Catholic man. He was my neighbor. Joe was a wonderful man. He was, from the time I was, knee-high to a tadpole, he was a police officer in Wheeling, West Virginia. Served his whole career on the Wheeling, West Virginia Police Department. And I witnessed this man every day, year after day after day, week after week, year after year. After he finished his shift at the police department, he would come home, go in, have dinner with his wife. Her name was Lucy. They were an Italian couple. And boy, they could fight. You could hear it. But they loved each other, how Italians do, you know. But he'd have his dinner. Then he would come out that evening. We all have front porches, and we're all within a few feet of each other. You could literally step from our porch to the next one and never actually even touch the ground. You could walk through the porches. Well, Joe would come out every evening and sit. And for a Catholic person, this was was unusual because half of my family's Catholic, so I kind of have some insight. And he would read his Bible, which was very unusual for especially a Catholic man. And he would sit on that front porch 2 hours in the evening after having his dinner, and he would read his Bible and he would pray. But we'd all be on the porch and everyone would be talking, but he would just be studying. And after that time was over, he would close his Bible, then he would enter into conversation. He never witnessed to me once about Jesus Christ. He never spoke a word to me about the Bible, God, or the Holy Spirit. But he was a silent witness of the faith of Christ in my life, on how he was committed to his family, how he was committed to his church, how he was committed to his community. He was a man of integrity, a man of peace. I don't know when he was arguing with Lucy, but he touched my life. And I wish I could have to tell him that, but he died before I could. The last person up there, Sylvia Browning, she was part of my local church that I grew up in West Belair, Ohio. Sylvia now was that very affectionate, loving Christian, unlike Joe, who would be in your face. Hey, Rusty, you know, I saw you doing this. You should be doing this because the Holy Spirit's watching you. She was that kind of person. But it was good intention. She had the eyes of the Lord were on her to watch me. She loved me. She devoted herself to me, giving me Bibles, giving me scripture, speaking into my life prophetically. When I decided to go off into missions work, she was the very first person to give to me a plane ticket to go. And when I heard word she was sick, I was flying back from the Philippines. And she died before I could get to see her. So this morning, when you have the opportunity, they don't have to be a person of our faith background, but just so they were a person of faith in Christ Jesus. Because we stand on the shoulders, beloved, of the people who went on before us. This last image I want to show you is called The Legacy by Ron DeCaney. As I even stand in this pulpit and you sit in those chairs, there's such a great cloud of witnesses that surround us. We might not see him, but we can sometimes feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the anointing with them around us. I think it's a beautiful image that we are not in this alone. They are with us, encouraging us and cheering us on from heaven. I don't know if you can kind of see who some of these images might be. Obviously, I think you have Jesus here on the left of the pastor, King David, Samuel, Moses, John the Baptist. I want you just to think about that, beloved. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Our thoughts of saints often take us to the disciples or the early church fathers of St. Matthew, St. John, St. Augustine. Yet I firmly believe there are many more saints, again, kind of like Joe and Anita Jackson and Sylvia Brown, who are toiling away quietly. And so many times, you know, their work maybe goes unnoticed, but it's not going unnoticed to the Father. When I think of a saint, the first thing that comes to mind is someone who devotes their life to following and serving Christ, who inspires others to do the same like they did for me. How many such people have we had in our lives? Have you ever thought about that? Who has touched and affected your life? Why you are sitting where you are? Your mom, your dad, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, a friend, a neighbor. The question is for all of us, how will we honor those saints who have gone before us? And again, I believe the best way for any of us to show honor for those who have gone on before us, is to continue to carry on the banner of Jesus Christ all the days of our life. Will you strive to follow Christ more closely each day? God wants us all, beloved, to be saints before him. God wants us all to follow and serve Christ and to inspire others to do the same, just as we've been inspired by them. We are, yes, ordinary people, but God wants us to do extraordinary things. And when we seek to follow God's will in our lives, we will then honor all those saints who have gone before us. The gospel tells us how to do this, and we can find direction even in the events surrounding Lazarus' death and resurrection through the actions of Jesus and his disciples. Again, one of the greatest mysteries of this story is the fact that Jesus just didn't come to Bethany right away when Lazarus was sick. When Mary and Martha had summoned for him, and he got the news that Lazarus was sick, did he hurry up? No. But he waited. And when Jesus arrived 4 days later, as we heard, Mary tells him if he had been there, her brother would not have died. Now, does Jesus' late arrival indicate his inaction on his part? No, it does not. Now, so here's something, again, I was kind of going here earlier in the message. His late arrival does not indicate his inaction, but he was going to show something more powerful. Now, the way the early Hebrews thought was that when someone was dead, and especially on day three, they believed the soul had departed at that point. The soul was gone. And not even God himself could bring back the soul back into a man at that point. And what does Jesus do? He waits 4 days, then arrives. He says, roll away that. I said, oh, wait a minute now. It's going to be an awful odor. Roll away the stone. And he calls him out, Lazarus, come forth. You have to understand, Jesus himself was going to do something later in Scripture. And I think Jesus was trying to tell them in a subtle way who he was and what his plan was. In John 11, 25, it says this. And he's trying to tell them who he is and what his plan is, because it's going to come down the road here shortly. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, you have to understand, if Jesus can raise somebody from the dead after 4 days, do you think 3 days in the tomb is going to be anything for him? No. Jesus was going to kick that door in, beloved. And he was showing them now who he was, that he had power and purpose. And he was the resurrection and the life. Nothing was going to stop him. When Jesus had received words of Lazarus' illness, his response was this: this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is the glory of God that will be revealed through it. Beloved, we are to be workers. In closing, we are to be workers together in Christ. Jesus invites us all to walk with him, and he also calls us to serve in his name, to continue the work that he has begun. The great saints of this world are the ones who do this work faithfully. We honor their memory when we seek to do the same. And we also draw nearer to being the saints that God would have us to be. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord, help us to be your light in this world, to bring light into the dark places. Help us to walk as you walked, to give us the courage you gave your saints who have went on before us. I pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.